happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to everyone eventually. Oh, I'm so glad you've tuned in. Life is such a reality check, isn't it? Oh, I can remember this one trip I did. I laid down after I got off the plane. And oh, man, my head was spinning and my body was trying to go to sleep. It felt like a really bad party had happened. I actually had to put my foot on the floor to stop the bed from moving. Oh, yeah, and I'm laying there and I'm just like, oh, just relax. Just relax. Close your brain off. Fall inside. Just go to sleep, please. Didn't happen. My body wanted to go to sleep, and my eyes were like, oh, you got to pay attention to this. And my brain was like, oh, you're standing upside down. You need to be pointing the other way. And then I just about fall asleep. And this noise, it sounded like the soundtrack of Jurassic Park, where all the screechy little rafter things are chasing people. Have that go through your brain just as you're trying to go to sleep. Terrifying. So guess what? I didn't go to sleep. My eyes sprung open. I still had my foot on the floor just to make sure I was in reality. And I looked out this beautiful back door. It was like a sliding glass door. And outside, it was almost like a painting where somebody put big blobs of green and blue. Across the background was these moving bundles of oscillating colors, like yellow and pink and white and black. Just masses of these undulating colors. In my eyes, I kind of squinted a bit because, you know, when you're on a plane for, gosh, that day it was 23 hours of planes, you just kind of get that drowsy and I squint my eyes just to make sure I'm seeing things right. And in the backyard had thousands, well, maybe not thousands, but at least 100 of the most amazing birds I'd ever seen in my whole life. They were as big as Amazon parrots, and they were pink and black tips and white undersides on the wings, and they had yellow splotches on their face. And the freaky thing is that they had bills on them like parrots. And that flock went through and landed in a tree, well, several trees actually. And then there was another screeching sound. And there were white birds with yellow crests on them. And they flew across and they passed the pink cluster on green. And before you know it, they landed a flock of cockatoos. Big, huge, white, wild. Beautiful. Wow. That was my first impression when I was traveling to Australia. I was down south of Sydney in a small place called Nara. I was sharing a house with a friend, and I spent some time there. And it was just so amazing. They had birds the sizes of wrens, up to things that were as big as hawks. Some of them were bigger. And most of these birds were so just weird, because coming from Canada, the first thing I have to say is it's exciting in Canada when you see a cardinal or a blue jay, especially against the white of the snow. But most of our birds are ground-colored birds, and no real joyful, dancing, prancing beauties. But down there, everything had color. The small birds, the little ones, were all colors. And they all had beaks like parrots. And to this day, I find that so totally intriguing. The whole country of Australia to me is like a surreal reality trip. You know, they have kangaroos. We all know that. And they have different sizes of kangaroos. Some of us don't know that. They have like really little kangaroos. And then they have kangaroos that live in rocks and others that jump across the sagebrush in the desert. And when I was out in the desert, I had the most amazing time. I got to see the wild horses, the Brumbies. Amazing. At least for people who love horses. Out there, you could find a horse of every color, every shape, all ages, all wild. None of these horses get warmers or vaccines. They're not exposed to the music in the barn, or the sugar in the food, or the GMO corn. These are the horses that run wild through the briars in the bush. I'm sure sometimes they're hunted for the meat. I'm sure that they're considered a pest because when you go into small colonies and towns, the inhabitants actually have built fences around their gardens, around their houses, so they can keep the grass and their plants because the horses come in and raid them. They also put fences around the national parks. I was out way down in south of Ayers Rock or Uluru, and in there is a park. And it looks like going to, I think it would be most probably Arizona. It's very kind of rocky and red, very red soil. It's actually where they shot the spaghetti string westerns of the 60s. And in here is a park. And it's like a huge mind trip because when you go in, there's nothing but desert and rock, barren, ugly. Well, at least to me it was kind of ugly because I'm used to green and trees. But as we came around a corner, there was this canyon. And at the top of the canyon, you could see the leaves of palm trees. Wow, what a curious place Australia really is. And we went in there, and it was like, again, going to Jurassic Park. These palm trees, they're called the red cabbage palm, and they're the oldest living grove of palm trees on the planet. These are the palm trees that were around at the time of all the dinosaurs. It's in this canyon, this one little isolated spot on the world, is the information that predates everything that we know. Those trees hold the history of the earth. And under the trees, there's these pockets of water. And living in the pockets of water are these little fish, kind of like guppies, I think. That would be the closest expression of how small they were. But these fish are some of the oldest freshwater fish in the world. Stuck, isolated, surrounded by nothing but dry desert, is this small little reality check. A place fenced off so the horses can't eat. No one's allowed to live there. And in the quiet of the outback of Australia, there lives the memory of prehistoric man and his trees. Everything seems to be a reality check. I mean, I came home and when I landed in the United States, everything just felt so different. Everything down in Australia just seems to vibrate with energy. And I think it could be because of the way the stones down there are made. If you understand homeopathy, where homeopathic medicine basically holds little magnetic charges of the presence or the past presence of, say, an herb or mineral. And they take and they spin it and shake it and the different compounds dissolve and break down so that the original plant part isn't there anymore. but the energy signature, the electromagnetic field, is trapped. I think it's done in alcohol. And then it's coated. They throw this mixture in a tumbler and they cover it with sugar and milk powder to help the energy system of your body absorb it. Well, this tumbling action to make the homeopathic pills, the remedies, is kind of like how the stones in Australia were made. There are these big boulders of small rocks stuck in, I guess, sandstone, old mud, and they've been tumbled and rolled around with the action of creating the earth. And all of Australia, for me, is just like standing in one great big power grid. And then when you get off the plane in Los Angeles, it feels like somebody takes a heavy black blanket and throws it over top of you. And you feel disconnected and heavy. And you have to open your eyes and look at another reality. Here, we're exposed to a lot of unnatural things. I just can't get over the amount of issues I've had come to us here at the farm. It's just been one animal after another. Cancer tumors, and more cancer tumors. What is going on? You know, we just need to stop and think about, really, whose reality are we living in? And what are our animals really doing mixed up in all of this? Are they the innocent bystander? Well, I think everything in nature has a purpose. And maybe by watching how nature starts to throw things into the middle of our lives, we should be able to pick up some really important clues about maybe the reality that isn't really our reality, but could be something or somebody else's. Radiation. Radiation from your cell phone. And if you don't think it's a big deal, check out trying to pop popcorn with your cell phone. There's several videos on YouTube. It's a bit of a reality check. You'll never sleep with your cell phone near your head again at bed. Nope, not this person. Radiation. If you work on a vessel, on a ship, you're surrounded by radiation. You're a floating electromagnetic field cutting through a conductive force of water. And your electromagnetic field is interrupting the electromagnetic field of all the fish. You see, running down the side of a fish is a line, a sensory line. And that is how animals of the water actually feel. They feel through the side of this line. That's how they know when things are moving and what is moving. And so when you have ships zipping back and forth, or servicing oil rigs, or doing whatever they do, they are cutting like ley lines on the earth. They are cutting ley lines of electromagnetic field through the water. And they're creating an artificial web of radiant energy that is interrupting the peace and the connection between water and the creatures that live in it. Way down below, deep, covered with the water, is the artificial environment of an oil-laden reef. Heaviness, weather, surges, chemicals, all of these things have pushed this heaviness down onto the floor of the earth. BP, not necessarily a friend. They make great gas, right? Is it necessary? No. There's all kinds of things in nature that we could be using other than oil. All of these things are a different reality. All of these things are based on radiation, electromagnetic field. And these fields can be naturally generated. And these fields can be artificially generated. And unfortunately, the artificially generated ones are affecting our animals. And they're affecting them in more ways than you think. Now, dogs are very close to our hearts, and cats are very close to our hearts, and they keep getting sick. I can remember when cats would live forever. And now I run across feline leukemia is rampant in the cat population. And there's places like Ralphie's Mission to help people with animals like that. Check them out. It's ralphiesmission.com. And anyway, all of these disturbances in the natural system of life just kind of makes you want to wake up and check out how you can change your reality and your pet's reality. So if you haven't figured it out, you're listening to Isologic Radio, and I'm your host, Patricia Cleveland. And you can contact me at bhpcleveland@gmail.com or go to my website, which is thebalancedhorseproject.net, and check us out. I actually love to work with animals on a cellular level to take out the trauma, the imprint of life and past lives out of their systems so that they can actually become whole and functional and enjoy the reality of living. Our reality of living. Sometimes I think our pets come into our worlds and mirror the things that frustrate us in life. I think the pets are showing us that maybe by paying attention to their behavior or their needs, that maybe we would be improving who we are. I think that the radiation that's going on in our world has a solution. And I ran across it several years ago, working with racehorses, working with broodmares. And I didn't really know it until later on. And I've tried it here at the farm. I've tried several things at the farm. I've actually got goats. I like goats. Well, kind of like goats. They're not my favorite thing right now. They broke the water spigot. And we haven't had water here for a day because I had to dig up the spigot and fix it. And now it's working, but it took a little effort. But goats. I had a goat come in here with breast cancer. Did you know goats can have breast cancer? Well, they can. Guess what? She doesn't have breast cancer anymore. She does not have any tumors at all. Goats get breast cancer in their udder, and that's where they make the milk for their babies. Now, this goat cannot nurse her babies, but she's alive, and she's having a great time because she is actually the most dominant, the most healthy female goat in our herd. And Domino? The average goat may live to be, 12, 13. I think Domino is 15 years old and she's about to have another set of kids. It's amazing. When you start to change how you think and you start to watch your animals, they'll tell you when they're sick, but they'll also give you ideas on how to fix the problem. So stay tuned. I'll be right back. I'm going to take a break. See you soon.
It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to everyone eventually.
Life is beautiful. It's a reality check. You can close your eyes. You can fall into your heart. You can be in this radiant spot. Tell yourself you love yourself. Hold yourself together there. See, we're exposed to some pretty nasty things when we open our eyes and start to think. Don't know why people do what they do, but I'm starting to understand more as I go through this process of finding out who I am. Realities. Do you know we're in charge? We're in control of a reality. Each person is a reality. I sit in my library and I look at all the books. I love books. Not fictional books, but like books that tell you knowledge. And for every book on my shelf, somebody had an idea. And they took and they manifested that idea and they made it into a reality. And their reality is merging constantly with every person that picks up a book or nowadays goes to YouTube and signs in or does a search on the internet. We're sharing our realities. And do you know what? From that effort, we are able to understand ourselves better. One of the things I really like to share with people, which I find most people aren't even aware of, and I believe this is part of somebody else's agenda, and we'll leave that out of the conversation for now. Did you know that there was an experiment done? Oh, I think it was somewhere around, let's say, 1790. And it's called the Young Experiment. Now, the Young Experiment's better known as the double slit experiment. Okay? And I'm not telling you that this is made up. I'm telling you this is the truth. They went and they took an experiment where they had a board. And I'm simplifying this, okay? They had a board and they cut two slits in it, equal distance apart. And in the middle, they placed, in this case, I believe it was a candle. And behind the board on the wall, several feet away, they put up a piece of photosensitive paper. So when light would hit this paper, it would make a mark. Well, they lit the candle, and they stood in the room. I think the point of the experiment was to actually prove logic. Who knows? But, you know, logic does say that the light should go through the two slits because it can't go over top because the board, I think, was huge. So they got two slits. The light should definitely go through those two slits and make two brown spots equal distance or parallel to these slits in the board. And it happened. It actually happened. Logic was proven right. So I don't know if they left the candle on and went for a beer, went down to the pub, hung out with their friends. But anyway, they left the room. And when they came back into the room, they had more than two spots on the wall. I think they had, I'm not sure if it was 8 to 12 spots. And they were in very specific patterns. Very linear. And you know what? It didn't make any sense. There was no logic. And that was the very, very first time that science actually got stuck understanding that it doesn't know everything, because that experiment was basically squashed until we started talking about quantum physics in 1930. And this experiment, the double slit experiment, was repeated again in 1961. And it was enhanced and transformed into an experiment called the delayed double slit. Now, if you want to learn about these things, you can go on YouTube and type in delayed double slit experiment, or type in Dr. Rhodes, that's R-H-O-D-E, double slit experiment in the YouTube file. And sit down and listen to what this man says. It's very simple. It's not too complicated with all the science stuff. It's really, really well done. What they figured out is the difference between wave energy and particle energy. That was the double slit experiment. The second experiment, called the delayed double slit experiment, expands. and says, we have wave energy and we have particle energy. And we also know from the first experiment that when the person is in the room, we have particle energy. And when we take people out of the room, we have waves of energy. So in other words, when you put a person in a reality or in the experiment, we actually interfere with the results of the experiment, right? And what they did with the second type of experiment was the delayed double slit experiment. They actually didn't tell the researchers what the outcome of the experiment was. This is a general overview, by the way. They didn't tell the people what the experiment outcome was, and it was 24 to 48 hours after a computer had fired a random series of electrons through two slits that were electronically counted. 2 days later, the experimenters were actually asked to determine what the outcome was. And as long as they didn't look at the results from the computer printout, they were able to manipulate the outcome of the experiment. That was pretty cool. And you see, it's not really being talked about because it actually suggests that we, as sentient beings, interfere or manifest our reality. And the energy that we put into play yesterday or 2 days ago is actually the platform or the wave energy that actually brings us into today. And we have the ability to create from that energy. We can create today. And what we create today links up and helps us to create tomorrow. So that's why it's so important to be careful what you say. And when you write words, consider them to be a magic spell. So write well. Don't waste words. And when you are actually wanting to manifest something, you go into not your head, not your thinking part of who you are, but the feeling part, your emotions. And whether you go into a state of meditation or prayer, or you fall into yourself, however it works. Not asking you to pull the energy from some external being, from God, but just go to an emotional, intense place. And whatever it is that you need, whatever it is that is supposed to come towards you, you can enhance the quality of it. You can discharge it. You can make it real in your field, or you can expand it to touch the hearts of other people. You see, as a collective group of energetic beings, we forget that we were created in the form of the gods and that they put their essence inside of us and that we create every day. We just don't know it. And the manipulations that we're exposed to through the news, through radio, through radiation, through GMO foods, through dead water, through all the negatives that surround us, and then we're educated not to believe in ourselves and live in states of self-denial, we actually have this manifestation energy, creative power taken and used against us. It's used against our animals. See, I don't think animals have the ability to create the way humans do. I think animals reflect our creative skills or our lack of creative skills. They reflect the connection or the disconnection that we have to who we are. I think that our animals actually reflect our reality, not nature. Nature is a reflection of our reality. I think our reality needs to be looked at. I think as a group, we could manifest some pretty amazing things, like cancer cures. Oh, I'm sitting back totally frustrated. You know, people don't understand all the messaging, all the little hints, little touches that touch you mentally, subconsciously. Right now, there's a campaign for breast cancer, to find a cure for breast cancer. And if you are a survivor of it, if you're going through it, if you have someone that's close to you that is troubled with these things, I'm so sorry, because it is a devastating disease. Any cancer is a devastating disease. But where I get so frustrated is there are so many cures out there that within the healthcare system, we're not allowed to use. We're not even allowed to talk about it, because we have money sitting between us and reality. And the sacrifice of people's lives, sacrifice of animals, all the animals that come in here with cancer would just make your head spin. And you see, by the time a cancer is found in a dog, it's already progressed. And if the dog isn't exposed to radiation, but we can be exposed to anything that alkalines their body very quickly, you might have a chance of saving the dog. But the dog's timeline, his phase of life runs a lot faster than human. So if you want to be proactive, take your thoughts every day and really, really try to create a reality that says, hey, there's no disease. And if there is disease, I give it permission to go and live in an environment that is better suited than who I am. You see, when you start fighting the disease, you actually throw your energy at it. You make it stronger within who you are. But if you accept it and you give it permission to survive and live, but not in who you are or not in your animal, a lot of the times what I see is the state of disease reduces because you're not feeding it. You're not afraid of it. You're not fighting to kill it, because you see everything that exists has a right to exist. It's just where it chooses to exist. So if radiation is causing the vibration of this natural environment to be offset, and it's creating funguses in our bodies to grow, and the conductive value of the body is too acidic, and we start getting these diseases, maybe we should start changing our reality. Maybe we should be putting some pressure on the people who tell us what is real and what isn't real. Maybe we should be looking at the education system. Maybe we should be looking at the medical system. Maybe we should be looking at government, because really when you start looking at the whole system, it's somebody else's reality. And I don't think humanity really belongs in it. I think we're being used as tools. I think our animals are knowing that. See, everything that comes from the natural world will find an answer. If you stand and ask from your heart, from your center, for an answer, it will manifest in front of you. It may be a serendipitous moment in your day. It may be the words you hear in a voice, in a conversation. It may just kind of be accented just enough that it hits you. And you go, oh, that's an idea to follow up on. So cancer and all these ladies that are promoting pink, subliminal messages. I will never, ever wear pink again, because to me, it's a social manipulation. It's saying that pink is associated with cancer. Do you know that? And if they were really, truly serious about looking for answers to cancer, they wouldn't be looking at radiation. CAT scans, all the testing that they do just to find out if you have cancer, has been known to stimulate cancer cells. And within 6 months of exposure to CAT scan, if you've already got an existing cancer cell in your body, guess what they've done for you? They've activated cancer. So if science already knows that, why is medicine using it? Tends to bring up some pretty deep questions. And I'm not in a position to help, just to stir up your thoughts. So I'm going to take a break and be back with some ideas of what we can do to change the world.
And all the other boys try to chase me, but here's my number, so call me maybe before you came into my life.
I don't want to be the last man standing, but I'd like to be in a group of last men standing. And maybe if we get together and work through our heart chakras, through our radiant heart, which is even stronger, and we all join together, not consciously, but energetically, we can make some really amazing shifts in a reality. The word tetrahydrocarbolol, remember it. THC. Oh, THC. Everybody knows THC. Oh, that comes from Mary Jane, marijuana. Hemp. Industrialized hemp? That is a pretty amazing plant. I ran across industrialized hemp in the horse industry. Up in Canada, we've been growing it for quite a while. We use it for all kinds of things, like making clothes and food. Very cool stuff. I did a research project on it because it's supposed to have omega 3, 6, and 9 in it. It's supposed to have the highest rating of GAL in it. All of these things make hemp oil a super, super amazing resource. And in detoxification of the body, it has been known to hit the body at a cellular level, which is pretty amazing. So I went in and I started feeding this to racehorses. And what I found is they started to improve their states of health. I also noticed that their coat got really shiny. You didn't have to brush them much. Their feet changed. They got really healthy. Oh, yes. And the other great thing is that their muscles started to get loosened up because all the toxins and pollution from the vaccines melted out of their system. We used it on them as a food source. I used it to rub their legs down so I could tell where there was injury, because the hemp oil itself would actually go right in to this through the pores of the skin, and it would be dry where there was an injury point. I used it on cuts and wounds to help heal, and it replaced the cellular regeneration very quickly on all kinds of wounds. I fed it to animals as like chunks of hemp stem. Now, this hemp doesn't have a lot of THC in it, but there's other stuff out there that does. And then I ran across this really interesting study, and it was done in 1974. And it came out of the School of Medicine of Virginia. And in there, it said that THC was the primary active agent for killing all cancer cells. So now, does it not make you wonder why we haven't got any of these cancer organizations using hemp, marijuana, to actually heal, get rid of cancer? This tetrahydrocarbolol has actually been used to kill all kinds of cancers. And there's a gentleman out there, his name is Rick Simpson, and he has an organization called Phoenix Tears. And anybody who is interested in this conversation, please go to his website. He has got an amazing book. It's an e-book. and it talks about all the different ideas around how to use the oil generated from the seed heads from very specific strains of hemp. Now, he's calling his product hemp oil, and his hemp oil does have THC in it. It's not like the hemp oil you go to the grocery store and buy. His hemp oil is medicinally very strong. What it does is it actually helps your body's immune system. It goes in and it goes to the receptors in your brain and it triggers a release of another compound, and that compound is able to go in and kill cancer. But all of the goodness of this hemp oil actually helps to heal and regenerate the cellular damage. Now, Mr. Simpson, Rick Simpson, has indicated that radiation has been a big issue for people coming out of Chernobyl, Russia, and Fukushima in Japan. And he has worked with people that have suffered some pretty severe radiation burns. And what they did was they used this essential oil made out of the hemp seed head, okay? Not the parts of the plant, not the leaves or anything else, but the seed head. And they've applied it to people who have had really severe burns. You don't have to be radiation burn, any severe burns. And what this does is it gets rid of the toxins and the necrotic tissue, and it helps the cellular regeneration of healthy pink skin. For people that live out on the West Coast, it's exposed to a lot of the radiation. You know, your radiation counters are still turned off in the U.S., okay, so we don't know what we're being exposed to. But what they're suggesting is you can take a little bit of this oil every day, and it will help your body combat the effects of radiation. So why aren't we using hemp? Oh, we can have legal marijuana, medical marijuana. Well, read what the limitations are. You see, Big Pharma doesn't want you to have access to any of this. There's very few places in the world that you can be in possession of essential oil made from hemp or marijuana seed. So it just kind of makes your head spin when I watch these wonderful women who think they're out there doing a great thing, raising money for the cancer cure for breast cancer. And I'm sitting there reading all this stuff going, are you crazy? Are you that indoctrinated into the program that you will believe everything that you're told and that you will take and send yourself, your friends, your children over to a system that's going to expose you to radiation and deconstruct your energetic being and destroy your body? Are you that brainwashed? Apparently, there's a lot of people brainwashed. So for anybody who is interested in finding out more, there's a couple of resources you can go to. And as I said, the first one would be the phoenixtears.com. In there, he's got some interviews and some articles that you can read. There's evidence that by growing the hemp plants over in Yugoslavia around Chernobyl, that they were able to break down the radioactiveness in the soil. And the Russian government came back and said, hey, we don't want you doing that. We want people to get sick and die. Kind of crazy, right? And there's all this research out there that says if you grow industrialized hemp, it will break down the toxins in the soil. And you have the EPA here in the United States. And right now on their list, they have over 30,000 hazardous waste sites that need to be treated. And how are they going to treat them? Who's going to be the sucker that goes in the little plastic suit to play with the chemicals? And yet, if we turned around and we planted hemp, industrialized hemp, it's one of the most useful plants on the planet. I can remember coming home from a trip up into Toronto. It was at the time where you could have like the really big suitcases and they didn't charge you a lot. Yeah. Well, I'd gone up there and went shopping because at the time they just opened up the trade agreement between Canada and the U.S. and I could actually bring hemp products into the United States. So here I am going through customs and, you know, and there's 20 million people in line, and guess who they choose to pull out to search? Me. Coincidental? Nah. I could tell you lots of stories about how many times I've been searched. Anyway, I was bringing back hemp seeds that are a food source, which I really like because I take about a tablespoon, and I'm good for about 6 to 8 hours without having to eat. They're very high energy. I was bringing home hemp oil for my show horses because I found my study I did up in Canada, which was 5 years, the benefits of having hemp oil for my animals was very, very amazing. I was also bringing home chopped up flour, protein flour. I use that instead of the milk whey for protein. I find it's much better. So I had basically my grocery store in my suitcase, and they pull me out of line, and they open up my suitcase, and I'm like trying quietly not to have a fit because, you know, if you show emotion, they'll act on it. And I'm so happy. They took me over to this one table, and this lovely lady pops up and looks at me and opens up my suitcase and goes through it. And I mean, I'm not taking little jars. I'm taking big, big, big containers of goods home. And she looked at them and she read the label and she says, "Oh, hemp." She says, "I'm from India." She says, "We eat this all the time. This is very good stuff. You are good to go." And I was like, thank God for people from India. I was able to bring my goods home. And ever since then, I've been bringing hemp products down from Canada for use here at our farm. It's one of the things we use when we have sick animals. We give them hemp. Give them hemp in as many forms as I can get to them. So hemp is pretty cool stuff. It's like a universal plant. And it's been around as long as those old palm trees down in Australia. And people have been using it for centuries. And really, when you think about it, why is it so illegal to have hemp or marijuana? Why? I think it's down to nature provides the solution to all the problems. And I think hemp is one of those solutions. You see, governments around the world don't want anybody to use marijuana or hemp. I mean, Australia grew it. They were using it for insulation in their houses. And then all of a sudden, it was illegal to grow industrial hemp, which doesn't carry very much THC. Okay, you can't get high on industrialized hemp. But it was illegal all of a sudden to grow it? I mean, come on. It's not because we're afraid of replacing ropes. And it's not because it's a dangerous drug. Because, geez, all the pharmaceuticals these people are on today, those are dangerous drugs. They get people killed. And it's not because it's alcohol and we're out there doing drunk driving. No. Maybe it's because the reality of no desire to stand up for ourselves, no reality to actually look at the state of disease that's going rampant through our animals because we're using the same thing on our animals that we use on ourselves, and we aren't doing anything about that. Maybe the reality that somebody else has an agenda to basically limit the human population. And why is it so important to use the female color pink to plant the subliminal message of cancer? And every young girl from this generation on is going to associate pink with cancer. setting herself up for a psychological assault. There's an agenda going on. And whether you love your dog, you love your horse, your cow, your cat, love yourself too, because your animals, when they come in sick, are telling you, this is a big problem. Pay attention. Not thinking attention, heartfelt attention. Because you see, the system is working quite fine the way it is. It's designed to do what it's doing. But if we went into thinking about how to create a new system, and for those people that need to be where they are right now, they can be there and they can live in that system. But on an energetic level, on a thought level, maybe we could manifest something completely new. You see, heaven is found in the heart. Heaven is within you. All you have to do is to remember to open the door, stick your head inside, to breathe in the fresh air, to see the beauty, hold the stillness, sense the peace, and become whole. And when you become whole, it opens you up to connection. And that connection is with yourself. And when you find that, go and use it. You see, I woke up the other day and I realized in myself, I've created my own place. I figured I live in heaven. I have a farm. It's actually an ashram in kind of camouflage, because here I'm in connection with nature all the time. And it's promoted me up to the level of awareness that allows me to actually talk on the phone long distance to people and help their animals and help themselves. So take a deep breath. Don't wear pink. Think about medical marijuana. And love yourself. This is Patricia Cleveland. You can find me at bhpcleveland.gmail.com or at thebalancedhorseproject.net. And think a good thought. Don't be afraid. When you are, look at it, laugh at it, and ask it to move on. Because you see, you're in control. You are the one that's creating your own reality. Hey, go out there. Laugh at something. Find it simple. Make it funny. Enjoy your day. Bye for now. It can happen to you.